This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Boy, it's grilling season. It's the Matt McNeil Show. How much of Canada is left to burn at this point? It is pretty obnoxious. It's been going since March.
Yeah, like all over the country, they've been having that smoke come down. Yeah, it's, how much more do they have to burn?
Smoky. I love the weather forecast coming up on Saturday. It's smoky. Oh, yeah. Like my OnlyFans page, but it's not just Saturday when it's smoky. I'll let you know that. Still not sharing where that is. There is an OnlyFans page. I'm not sharing any more details, so you can find it. There you go. Magic time.
Put it on the big screen behind you.
It will. It's pictures of me being shocked, getting caught eating things I shouldn't be eating. Like, you know, someone opens up a closet door and I'm in there with a bag of Fritos.
That'd be the surrender humans food you'd have in there.
Oh, it is. It is. Absolutely. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Completely guest-free today, but you are more than welcome to be my guest, by all means. 952-946-6205. So it is. By the way, I was at Park Tavern last night. I got to go on out there. Katie Tussman, a good friend of mine. I've had her on the show a few times. Fantastic singer. Absolutely wonderful artist. Was playing over on the patio. I had the pork schnitzel, nicely done. Have you got to get over, try that. The mustard on that thing is delicious. This is a lost freaking art. Pickle chips. You know how they do that? They'll deep fry pickles and they serve it as an appetizer.
Yeah, yeah.
99% of the time it's just plain freaking garbage. It is absolute garbage. Park Tavern does them right. Park Tavern does really good pickle chips because they got a little, I don't know if it's the deep frying, but I think maybe in some cases it takes some of the vinegar and the tartness out of it. And that's what I want with the pickle. I want that, you know, that. So that's what I like. So we got the TV screen on behind me here. There it is. There it is. We got the TV finally working here. Once I figure out how to get a Game Boy hooked, an Xbox hooked into this thing, it's all over. It's gonna be me doing Discord streams.
There is money in video game streaming, so we could just switch the format of the show completely.
I have no coordination. I've never played this game before. Let's begin. 3 hours of this.
Is Matt playing Fortnite for 3 hours every time?
Fortnite, you're gonna be Pac-Man. Get me Galaga. Hope you like retro.
Oh, we're going old school. Okay, I can go with that. Yeah.
So last night, good fun, Park Tavern, pickle chips there. As my daughter said when she was there, we were having dinner together, and she was like, you know, Dad, these are almost as good as the ones at the State Fair. The State Fair are the gold standard. That one at the pickle booth right there when you come off the grandstand, that is the gold standard of fried pickles. Park Tavern's got a pretty solid endeavor there. Go check them out. And go check out the music on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays over there as well on the patio. And the patio is nice. Patio is nice. Have you been out to that patio yet?
Not on the patio, no.
Oh,
been to the Park Tavern plenty of times, but never outside. I got to check that out.
Every time I walk, to go to the patio, you have to walk through the Park Tavern. I walk past the bowling lanes. I want to just go down and bowl, man, because they've got really good lanes too. But yeah, had that. Schnitzel, pickles, Katie Tussman, gold. Stop on by the Park Tavern. It's good fun. This weekend, you will see me traipsing around Hopkins, sad and depressed because I did not find the golden raspberry this year. Damn it. The golden raspberry was found on the first day, by a very lovely dad and his two kids with big smiles, which is just great. I got to tell you, through that's a memory that will be with them forever. That's one of those family moments, and just great. Couldn't be happier. I want one. I want a golden raspberry. I really didn't even get the chance to go out and look for it.
Yeah, that seems a little short-changed to have it found in one day. I mean, congrats to the guy, but yeah. I mean,
so one year, there's a big field out there, right? One year, a guy just took the golden raspberry, I guess, the guy that hit it, took it out and just dropped it in the middle of the field. He figured out when they were mowing it and said they're not going to mow it, left it in the middle of the field. It's out in the middle of this big grass field. No one found it until the last day. And people must have walked within like 3 or 4 feet of it all the time. I don't even know. There might have even been a soccer game on the thing. They didn't find it. It was just out there in the grass. Lucky no one ran into it. They got the Raspberry Festival. That's where I'm at because that's, you know, that's the hometown for me. That's where I'm going. They got the big vendors on the main street and the huge parade. Have you done the Raspberry Festival parade at all?
Oh, yeah. I've done that before. Yeah.
That's a long one, man. That's, I think the only one that's bigger is the Anoka Halloween one, isn't it?
Yeah, that would strike me as being the only one that could be bigger.
Yeah, that one's huge.
Massive event that is.
I was like, you know, pack a dinner, you know, because you're going to be there a while with that one. But no, yeah, good fun. I hope to see you out there. Lots of things going on in Hopkins this weekend. Whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a good time. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So have we got all the happy stuff out yet? Good? 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 Because this show's about to take a freaking turn, man. Owatonna. I don't know if you've seen the story here. Brett, have you seen the story? Have you witnessed the story about what happened down in Owatonna?
No, I have not.
Buckle up. All right. I mean, seriously. And not just normal buckle up. And I'm not talking like a NASCAR buckle up, but like a NASA buckle up. You know, you're going to need to buckle up on this one. This one takes a while, okay? 3 days after Owatonna's second annual Pride in the Park event, the chair of the organizing LGBTQ plus board has asked for the immediate resignation of the city's most visible elected official, claiming Mayor Tom Kuntz, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Tom Kuntz, took part in an effort to undermine and harass the organizers. Yeah. The mayor offered his apologies and indicated it was his intention to get more information rather than to interfere. I'm going to, my personal impression of this is I don't think he's being honest. I don't. We'll get to that here because there's a lot to hear. Nathan Black is the chair of, and it's going to take me a few times probably to get this one, Rainbowatonna. Ah, got it right, that Rainbowatonna. And so they put the OW at Rainbow, and yeah, they say Rainbowatonna. All right. The Rainbowatonna board personally asked Tuesday evening in an open letter to the Owatonna City Council for the resignation of Mayor Tom Kuntz. The Rainbowatonna organization as a whole is requesting a formal and public apology from the mayor. Outlined in the letter, Black said, both requests are being made following very distressing and disappointing behavior from the residents, and neighbors, including Kuntz. While Kuntz has since apologized to Black in an email, has confirmed some of the details laid out in Black's letter, he asserts his words and actions were of his own beliefs and do not represent the city. Now, I am going to first begin to call bull crud, dude. All right, I live in the Twin Cities. Melvin Carter is the mayor of St. Paul. Jacob Fry is the mayor of Minneapolis. If they walked into a coffee shop in either town, they're, hey, the mayor's here. There's no turning that off. There's no, and pick whichever mayor you want to do this, no Effenheimers being thrown around there. Listen, I just want my blankety blankety latte. That's, you can't really turn that off. And the fact that he's trying to do this just tells you right now, yep, this was as bad as what is being implied. The fact that he's trying to say, well, that atrocious behavior only an absolute jackass would take part in. Well, that wasn't Mayor. It wasn't Mayor Kuntz. It was the private citizen Kuntz. Now, like I said, I have lived in small towns. I've lived in big cities. You run for office, you basically are that person. You're a city council person, you're a city council person. You're the mayor, you're the mayor. You're the water commissioner, you're the water commissioner. And that's just what it is. And it, especially in a smaller town. Now, Owatonna's not small. Owatonna's got some size to it. But in a smaller town than Minneapolis and St. Paul, of course you're always the mayor, you freaking idiot. Stop with your attempted excuse making. It's pathetic. So it basically, this whole idea, and I think it's incredibly important to start there. The fact that this guy is trying to portray that he, as the mayor of Owatonna, and has been the mayor of Owatonna for a long time, I think over 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get to that here in the thing, the story. But you've been there long enough. You are intertwined with that. You can't separate that out. And you may not like that, but here's a little hint. Don't run for mayor. You don't want to be the mayor, then don't run for mayor. You know, if all of a sudden you're caught there and you're, you know, in just a completely hypothetical situation, you're caught with an eight ball and a hooker, and you say, well, this is not Mayor Matt. This is just private citizen Matt with the eight ball and the hooker. See? I didn't disgrace the city at all. Come on, man. Have no idea. Just like I said, completely hypothetical, made-up situation. But you get my point, right? That's what he's trying to do. And by the way, like I said at the very beginning of that, of course he's trying to do this because he knows if his behavior is tied to the city, then the city itself has got some problems. Let's find out what exactly Mayor did. According to Black, Kuntz had visited Associated Church on June 27th, requesting to speak with the pastor as the church would be hosting the Pride worship service July 8th, kicking off the day-long Pride events, including Pride in the Park. So, you're going to a church, okay? And by the way, isn't this really what all conservatives dream of, is the LGBTQ community going into the church and being part of the church and, you know, and being Christian? Isn't this kind of, you know, that's that you like Christian faith? So here's people that, you know, and funny story here, we're going to get a little bit into the Bible, okay? We're going to do this. Religious disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian, have been Catholic, currently a Christian. All right. You are going into a church. The conservatives say, we've lost Christian values. Well, here is the LGBTQ community having a Pride worship service on July 8th. You should be tickled pink by this. It didn't go that way. Now, I want to make sure we reiterate this. This is the mayor of Owatonna going into a church. That's important context. Kuntz identified himself as the mayor, okay? Allegedly began asking bizarre questions about stripper poles in the sanctuary. Wow. He was using really gross characterizations of our worship service and a religious service is taking place at the church, Black said. Black, a gay man who has been living and working as the chaplain in Owatonna since 2021, the same year Rainbow Owatonna was formed. Mayor Kuntz, who has served the mayor since 2004, said he did visit Associated Church, but he didn't ask those questions on his own. He had been asked those by people in the community. So let's unpack all that right there, because this story keeps going, by the way, too. Let's unpack this. So let's say I said there's a church in Owatonna where the priest eats a live badger during the service, okay? So pretty outrageous claim, isn't it? Pretty outrageous claim. Is the mayor, now that I've made this claim, is Mayor Kuntz going to go to that Catholic church and say, hey, is this where you eat the badger? Is this the badger eating area? Is this where you do it? Do you wipe your mouth here? I just heard from there's this radio guy up in Minneapolis who said that you're going to be some badger eating down in the church. No, of course, what you would do is say, well, that's a ludicrous statement. Of course, there's not going to be badger eating in the church. I don't need to go there. But this guy, Mayor Kuntz, who clearly is deep within far right internet conspiracy theory corners, and frankly, and I'll tell you what, I'll get to that in a second, frankly, is not really Christian. I mean, if you're going into a church and asking this, dude, what are you doing? But he says, hey, a few of my friends have asked, is there stripper poles in this church? Wow. Now, even if the friends, I mean, I think that obviously, personally, I get the impression he's lying by omission. He's trying to say, well, other people asked, but what he's not saying is, I believe this to be true too. That's what my belief is. I don't know if that's true, but that's my suspicion is that this mayor is basically, he himself was watching Tucker or Hannity or something like that, this right-wing version of the world, and like, there's stripper poles in the gay churches. And I want to stop. And it blows my mind that an elected official would walk into any Christian church and start berating the church in the church, not because of actual facts, but because someone said they're going to eat a live badger in there. And he said, let me get to the bottom of the badger eating. And he walked in there. At no point did he look at the people who had asked him this question, if it was just people or if it was himself being a bigot, one of the two, we don't know, and looked at them and said, hey, you're crazy. Of course there's not stripper poles in the Associated Church. Of course there's not. It's a church. Why would I go? There's no reason to go in there and ask them, let alone the mayor did an official visit here to stop the stripper poles. Wow, because now we're talking about violating religious freedom. And this is why this mayor now, and one of the reasons why this jackass, I mean mayor, is now frantically trying to say, well, no, I didn't do this as mayor. I went and did this as a private citizen. I was being a jackass as a private citizen, not a jackass as the mayor. Once again, he identified himself when he walked into the church as the mayor, and done. He was the mayor. And even if he hadn't, the fact that he'd been mayor since 2004, he was the mayor. Walking into a Christian church and degrading the Christian church. Can you imagine the outrage if I walked into a church and walked into any church in this Christian church in this city and said, when's the badger eating begin? What? We don't do that here. You're desecrating the church. Get out. Can you imagine what Republicans would be like? Liberal radio host Matt McNeil desecrates the sanctuary of a church by asking about eating a badger. He asked about stripper poles. Stripper poles. There's a lot more to this story, kids. We're going to spend a good chunk of this hour, if not the rest of this hour, on Owatonna. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Raising one brow brings up a good point. Maybe I'm missing the point here. Maybe he's just looking for strippers. I don't know. Is the mayor looking for strippers? Is that what, I mean, we got some clubs up here, Mayor. I don't know what you have for options in Owatonna for stripping action. Let me just give you a little bit of advice. Mayor Kuntz, do not go into a church and ask where the stripping poles are. Even if someone said they're concerned, because the reality is if you truly were there as only a neutral party, you should have taken at least 5 seconds to say, well, of course there's not stripper poles in this church. Come on, guys. That's just hysteria and hate. That's all it is hate. And by the way, Mayor, you suck at being Christian if all you do is hate. And he's one of these guys, and by the way, you'll get this thread here. He's one of these guys that, you know, clearly puts a lot of hate forward, but was one of those guys that comes on out there. Come on, guys. I'm not full of hate. I'm full of love, and I don't want you to think that I'm the bad guy here. Yeah, you're the bad guy. You are the bad guy. Holy God. Let's go back to the story, shall we? A couple people asked if there was going to be pole dancing, so I asked that, he said. Whew, wow. He walks into a church. I seriously, the mayor of a city who basically is desperately trying to separate himself from the mayorship at this point because he I think he now understands exactly that he's crossed some lines. The mayor has walked into a church and basically accused them through asking a question of having stripper poles. And once again, that's taking his side of the story. That's the best case scenario. Black is arguing that he actually was far more disgusting and you know disrespectful. So even with his good version of the story, he still is pretty bad. From there, both Black and Kuntz state they engaged in an email exchange initiated by the mayor using his personal email account, but signing the email regarding the July 8th worship service as Mayor Tom. Once again, you can't separate that out. You introduced yourself as the mayor in the church. You actually signed an email as the mayor. You're the mayor. In the initial email, Kuntz said he encourages all of us to follow God's commandments and hoped the service, which was led by Black, to follow God's words. Wow, that is a mayor walking into a church and dictating how that church worships. Stop. Think about that for a second. That is the mayor of the town. This is very Russian. I mean, this is really Russian. This is the political leader of the town walking into a church and going, you guys need to worship how I tell you to worship. Seriously. Gosh. Quote, this is Kuntz told the People's Press, I'm a Christian. Well, you kind of suck at that. Now, I added that part. I mean, I just, he seems to kind of suck at being Christian. I'm a Christian, and I believe that this is not something God would approve of. So I voiced my concerns to make sure that he was following God's words, Kuntz told the People's Press. When asked specifically, he felt God wouldn't approve of, Kuntz said, drag shows and homosexuality. Here's the funny. I'll take this to the break here. Let me step back here. There is a whole lot of people who claim to be Christian who completely ignore Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Completely ignore Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the story of Jesus. And spoiler alert, if you are Christian, you believe Jesus Christ was God on earth, and henceforth you believe his teachings and words. That's what makes you Christian. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four books of the Bible that makes you Christian because that's the story of Jesus. Birth, Christmas time, then you basically have the death, resurrection, you know, all the stuff. If you ignore that, and I mean, and most of these guys, and this is one of those guys, I can peg him for a mile. We'll talk about Romans, Thessalonians. We'll talk about Timothy. We'll talk about Leviticus, Exodus, Genesis. They don't ever want to talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, basically what this guy tries to put forward is exactly the opposite of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is very clear. He goes to the marginalized people, the people who are unwelcome, the people that were on the outskirts of society, and he grabs them and hugs them and welcomes them in. He does this all throughout his story. He is about welcoming and peace and love and understanding. He even goes as far, and if I may, he even goes as far as going back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a big one from the Old Testament that a lot of Christians like to use to condemn gay people. And there is a good debate going on through biblical scholars whether or not Jesus actually says the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was, and I don't want to get into Sodom and Gomorrah, the good guy in this offered up his daughter to be raped. It's old school Old Testament. So, but they use it to condemn, you know, bad sexual behavior. Jesus in Matthew 10, 13, 15. Once again, just religious disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. All right. All right. This is not about converting anyone. This is about showing this dude up. Matthew 10, 13 to 15. If the home is worthy, let your peace rest on it. But if it is not, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not welcome you or heed your words, shake out the dust of your feet until you leave that home or town. Truly, I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for their town. There are a lot of people that look at that and actually think that what Jesus is actually doing is revisiting Sodom and Gomorrah and saying the real crime of Sodom and Gomorrah was they were not welcoming. That was the real crime. But even if you disagree with that, here's once again a yet another example of Jesus himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John saying, you need to welcome all people. Guess who is not welcoming all people? Mayor Koontz, who claims to be a good Christian. You suck at being Christian, Mayor. I'll call you out to your face. You suck at being Christian because you ignore all the things about welcoming, peace, love, compassion. None of that matters to you. You're just, oh, what are you going to give me, Romans? Oh, throw Romans at me? Come on, man. That's Paul. That's not Jesus. That's Paul. Once again, a Christian who is doing everything in his power to ruin my religion. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'll take a break. There's a lot more to get to this story when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. By the way, just quick little side note here. Once again, disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian. No place in Jesus ever condemns gay people. Nope, not once. Nowhere in the Bible are lesbians ever condemned. So it's just gay people are not condemned. Jesus never did. And if you're basically creating a religion around an individual, shouldn't you basically go with what he said as opposed to, well, this other guy said this too. It's like, well, what did he say? Welcoming, peace, compassion? Yeah. Yeah, like I said, this is. Anyway, continuing with, this is the mayor who walked into a church and asked where the stripper poles were and basically tried to order or kind of command the church to, at least the impression I got, command the church to teach a religion as he dictated it. Drag shows and stuff like that, in my family's opinion, is an influence on the younger generation, I think, and confuses them what a man and woman are supposed to do. Gay pride, in my opinion, is referencing two women and two men in a relationship. My Bible tells me a man is supposed to take a woman and start a family with that. All right. So once again, he's as the mayor, and once again, this interview he's doing as the mayor, basically telling them that I'm going to invoke my biblical principles on everybody else. Black says he has no qualms with Koontz's personal beliefs, but that it's unsurprising some may feel that way in a given community. He's all upset, however, that Koontz, an elected official, was interfering with a religious service, which he was, and disparaging a church. It is our mission as an organization that we help people connect with their deeper core values and faith and heal from their homophobia, transphobia, and other beliefs based on misinformation, stereotypes, propaganda, and whatever it is. Black said, we have a lot to work to do, and it's okay for me that we have a lot to work to do. What isn't okay is for a public elected official to use the power of their office, their name, their position, essentially to use the power of the people and wield against a minority. That is completely out of the line. Completely agreed. A duly elected public official has no business interfering with a religious service of any kind. He continued, noting that Koontz's questioning of pole dancing was out of line, however untrue the rumors were. That is an exercise in abuse of power and intimidation. Absolutely. Can you imagine how ballistic, vein in the necks, red face, sweating as they screamed at the top of their lungs, the right would be if a liberal walked into one of the more conservative churches and told them how to conduct their services? Unbelievable. And yeah, I'm going to tell you what, all these, we defend Christian values. None of those people are going to go out there and say, you know, maybe you should be walking into a church and telling them what to do. Being the initial email exchange came from a personal account, Black forwarded the email to Koontz's official city email, where the mayor confirmed the message came from him. This mayor is not smart. He's not smart either. Because once again, now he introduced himself as the mayor. His email said mayor. And now he basically said, well, this came here. I'm going to verify it. And he verified it from the mayor's email account. Yep, this is me. Black then asked the mayor if he would attend the service and make a city proclamation declaring July 8th, 2023 as Rainbow Atana Day in honor of the LGBTQ plus citizens and neighbors. He recently had done a proclamation for Juneteenth, and I was assuming that meant he had said about equality in our lovely community, Black said, but Kuntz said he could not do such a proclamation, that he would be out of town the day of the event. At this point, I knew he was way out of bounds as a public official trying to interfere with a religious service, but he was also politically vulnerable for offering statements of equity and inclusion for one group, but denying it for another. Fact, he's right. Following the conclusion of the Pride festivities on Saturday, which included a Pride worship service at Associated Church, Pride in the Park at Morehouse Park, and a drag show at the Owatonna Art Center, Black stopped at Tori's Restaurant and Bar, the original location of the drag show, and said several people offhandedly remarked that Kuntz, the mayor, had come to the restaurant to complain about the show potentially being held in the upstairs venue, a place the business allows a variety of organizations and private parties to rent for a plethora of events. So now you have the mayor actively trying to shut down this event by going there. And once again, this is according to people at Tory's restaurant and bar, the mayor came in and tried to pressure them to stop having this event. Rainbow Atana had originally booked the upstairs venue at Tory's for the 21-plus drag show after party, but elected to move the location on June 20th following what the Tory's leadership described as a very vocal minority in the community who led management to be concerned about the safety and safety of our guests. Kuntz confirmed that he'd gone to Tory's to ask about the event being there, but when he was being told by the owner, Tory Statlander, that the event had been moved to location, he said that was the end of the conversation. It was just a clarification, Kuntz said. It was not good, bad, or indifferent. I was not complaining to Tory. Then what the hell were you doing there? Is this part of your mayor duties to run around the city to all the event centers and say, what event's coming up here? Not because that doesn't mean, unless you're doing that, mayor, unless you're doing that, you can't say it was not good, bad, or indifferent. You specifically went to see if one specific event was going to be handled there. Wow. Black disagrees and says it shows the mayor has a vendetta and is really working hard against the LGBTQ plus community. This further shows his pattern of activism against the LGBTQ plus community. Black said his admission that he was actually there is good to know. I want to know what else he did. And that's a fair thing, because this mayor seems to be doing a lot of these things in official capacity as the mayor of Owatonna. After Black posted the initial letter that had not yet asked for Kuntz's resignation on a private Rainbow Atana Facebook group, Black said he was notified on a public post made by the mayor's Facebook page that shows pretty grotesque views of the LGBTQ plus community. The prayer addresses upcoming events where sin and brokenness will be celebrated and where sexually explicit acts will be normalized, noting July 8th, the date of the local Pride events, as the date highlighted in the post. Kuntz shared a photo of the prayer of his social media on June 19th, captioning the photo as a good prayer. So is this officially on his Mayor Kuntz Facebook page? This is why I go back to that point. He's desperately trying to say, no. When I was being a bigot, that was me privately being a bigot, not Mayor Bigot. Mayor Bigot, someone else. Doesn't sound like it, dude. Sounds like you're just all bigot. All right. It doesn't matter if it's day job or night job. You actively. Wow. That is when I realized this was not an emotional accident, that this was not confused, overwhelmed man, Black said. This was a calculated, premeditated campaign of intimidation and harassment from a public official. Agreed. Who once again walked into a church, asked a Christian church, where are your stripper poles? And then basically tried to tell them how they could and could not worship in said church. Wow. At that time, Black updated his letter to include the request for Kuntz's immediate resignation. This is not just about being against the LGBTQ plus community. It's about interfering with religious freedom and religious liberty as well. Agreed. Kuntz admitted in Tuesday's conversation with the People's Press that he may have overstepped when he identified himself as the mayor while questioning the worship service. He further said in an apology sent to Black on Wednesday afternoon that he did what he thought was the right thing to do when he approached the church and that he tries each day to follow my faith and beliefs. Bull crap! You're a Christian, welcoming, compassion, caring. Those are things you're not doing, dude. You are hate, 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 hate. And that's what you're doing, is hating. That's not Christianity. That's your own personal bigotries that you're trying to wrap in your Christian faith, you jackass. Stop ruining my religion for your hate. Good. Stop it. You're not a good man. You're not doing the honest thing. And you suck as a mayor. Have I mentioned that part too? I'm just talking about him as a Christian. Now, like he's horrible as a mayor. He added the letter that he also recognizes other people have the right to follow their own faiths and beliefs. Do they? Koontz also wrote that it was not his intent to harass or intimidate anyone as you went to harass and intimidate them, and that his words were his own, not those of the city of Owatonna. You can't do that, dude. You can't. Now, you've been throwing your mayor badge around all damn day long there, mayor. Don't all of a sudden, well, wait a second. Oh, the bigotry stuff, the anti-Christianity stuff, the hate stuff. Well, that was me as a person. I'm a horrible human being. When I'm mayor, I'm a nice guy. Come on, man. Black said he's the apology sent and addressed directly to him is not sufficient. The Rainbow Atana board agrees it is unsatisfactory. Black is personally asking for Koontz's resignation, stating that regardless of the mayor's intent, there has still been a significant impact of the people he's interacted with individually and on the community at large. This is not about destroying Mayor Tom Koontz. It's about holding him accountable for his actions, Black said. Given his experience in leadership and government, his awareness and the need of equity and diversity in the community, there is no excuse. Agreed. I mean, this is, how is it that he is even close to being able to do this? How is it the city of Owatonna haven't dragged that little jackass by his short hairs into a back room and said, what the hell are you doing? You are leaving us open for a lawsuit we cannot win. We are going to get sued and we are going to lose because you decided as the mayor to go into a church and dictate how they could and could not celebrate their religion. Are you crazy? Black added, my hope is there is absolutely room for this major change in our heart, education, rebuilding relationships, and for growth, but it is all of that happens. He cannot be trusted to lead this community in a fair and equitable way. Agreed. The city of Owatonna has chimed in. The city of Owatonna was made aware Wednesday of an open letter from Nathan Black to Mayor Thomas Koontz that was shared with local media outlets and posted on Facebook. The letter was regarding the July 8th Pride in the Park event that Mr. Black helped organize. Mayor Koontz has responded to Mr. Black's letter publicly as follows. Dear Nathan, so this is apparently the letter that Mayor Koontz sent him. I am writing a response to the letter I received from you yesterday regarding your comment about my conversation with the staff at the Associated Church last week. I did what I thought was the right thing to do. I had received several inquiries from community members asking me about July 8th event. You helped plan for the city park. My intent was not to harass or intimidate anyone. Once again, if you're taking his side of the story, which I think is not even close to the bigotry and hatred this mayor threw out at this church, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He walked into a church and said, hey, some people have said you got stripper poles in here. He didn't at any point say, no, we're not going to go ask a church that. So even in his best case scenario, he was so wildly out of line, it's unbelievable. The mayor goes on to say, my words are my own and not those of the city. Shut up, you idiot. They are. You identified yourself multiple times as the mayor. And I would make the argument that you've been mayor since 2004. You can't separate that out. You can't on one side say, you know what? I'm the mayor for this thing, but I'm going to call you the Effenheimer. That was when I was not the mayor. So for that 1 minute I was swearing at you, I wasn't mayor, but now I'm back to being mayor again. You can't do that. You didn't show up at the church as just a regular citizen. You showed up as the mayor. I try each day to follow my own faith and beliefs. Ha! But I also recognize other people have the right to follow their own faith and beliefs too. No, you don't. First of all, you don't follow Christianity. You follow the right-wing Republican Fox News version of Christianity, which completely omits Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this just talks about hate, 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 hate. And when people say, why is all the hate? It's like, why do you think we hate? We just love people. We love to hate them. I mean, that's like, But on top of everything else is the other side of that entire thing is you clearly don't acknowledge they have the right to worship how they want. That's why you went there to try to force them to do things that you wanted them to do. And then, my God, if that's on your mayor's official Facebook page about prayers against the church and the sinners, dear God, I mean, seriously, just write the check. Just leave it the number blank and let the church and the rest of these guys fill out the numbers. I am mindful of the words of the serenity prayer. Oh, for goodness sakes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Please accept my apologies. Stop. Look at this is what I'm talking about. This is a guy, of course, my impression is he knew exactly what he's doing. But now all of a sudden he's being caught. He's like, wait a second here. Wait a second. Let me pull out the sincerity prayer. Or sort of sincerity, serenity prayer. Let me pull up the serenity prayer. Let me make this prayer that I know I'm a bad person. So don't hold me accountable. Dude, that ship sailed a long time ago. And by the way, if you're being accused of trying to force your version of Christianity on things as an official apology letter from the mayor to you, maybe you shouldn't be putting biblical passages in there anyway. It's probably not a good idea. He signed it. Sincerely, Thomas Kuntz. Mind you, he left mayor out there. So I guess that means he wasn't mayor at that time when he was being disingenuous. Reading the rest of the quickly, the Owatonna City thing. Any personal statements made by the city elected officials outside the context of their official roles do not represent the city of Owatonna. That's them frantically flailing. This includes any statements that may be perceived as supporting any public Pacific political party, religious denomination, or individual beliefs as city government operates in a nonpartisan manner representative of all community members. Dude, you can't. That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. The city of Owatonna's mission statement provides guidance to city official city matters and reads as follows. The mayor and city council shall represent the people of Owatonna by making decisions which ensure quality public services for all who live and work in the community. The process for following up on requests for city proclamations has been for them to be added to the city council agendas. Then the mayor and the titular head of the municipality announces them during the city council meetings. Generally, all received proclamation requests are handled in this manner. They're received. It sounds like the city of Owatonna is trying to make excuses of why the mayor didn't want to do a proclamation. City Administrator Chris Brucey said, to ensure our elected officials and staff represent the broad range of community members that Owatonna is fortunate to have, city staff will continue to provide diversity, inclusion, and equity and awareness information as part of our ongoing training. You guys suck at that, by the way. Owatonna, you suck at equality and equity. Dear Lord. And by the way, Owatonna, just know when to cut ties. So, hey, you know what? They didn't dot their I's and cross their T's on their proclamation request. And so even though it was wrapped in a whole bunch of bigotry, they should have filed that in triplicate. Hate, 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 hate. Oh, it's no longer Owl City. It's Foul City. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Say you miss me. Say you want to kiss me.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So there's going to be, I have zero doubt, some conservatives are saying, look, Matt McNeil's trying to force agendas on other people. No. He wants to be an ass. He can be one wherever he wants to be. Seriously, he wants to be that way. That's fine. The problem that he has is that he's the mayor. And as much as he wants to now, suddenly, and I guarantee you, if they go to trial, if this goes to court and this goes to trial, they'll be able to pull up tons of time where he constantly was saying, I'm the mayor, I'm the mayor, I'm the mayor, I'm the mayor. Everyone knew he was the mayor. Have people come in and say he identified himself as the mayor. Have the email saying he identified himself as the mayor. If he walked into that restaurant and said, I'm the mayor. It's the fact that you're an elected official. And you basically have now jeopardized the city of Owatonna and their financial resources because you're not really correct version of Christianity. I mean, like I said, you seem to be skipping a lot of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the story of Jesus, which is the guy that made all Christians Christian, where he's talking about love and compassion and welcoming. You skip past all that just so you can get to your little hate verses that you like to throw out there. And as someone said, it's like the Serenity Prayer. Isn't that for addicts? Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. He's trying to turn himself into a victim now. Dude, you're not the victim. You're the mayor. And you should not have done this. You should. I'm sorry. If I may present a potential hypothetical other reality. You and your little buddies sat there and said, this church is going to have strippers and drag shows. And it's going to be disgusting. They're going to violate Jesus. The mayor looks and says, you know what? I'll go talk to them. Let me go set them. I'll make sure they clean up their act. And he walked in there. I'm the mayor. Where's those stripper poles? Let's get rid of them. And was part of a larger group. Because I'll tell you what, it's going to be very difficult for the city of Owatonna to defend him if there is more proof that comes forward that this mayor was out actually working against a group of, you know, a protected class within in the city. If you did this, if a liberal had done this to a church where there was going to be a Proud Boys event or something like that, and that's not a protected class, the Republicans would be going ballistic. But here it is. Someone walks into a church, disparages the church, disparages the pastor, disparages the parishioners, disparages their message, and there's not going to be a damn Republican that is upset about it at all. Hour two, that's coming up next.
I'm still somewhat stunned by that Owatonna story.
How is someone that's been, it's not like he was there for 2 months. He's been there for almost 20 years. And he doesn't know you can't do that sort of stuff? And frankly, in the city of Owatonna, give it up, man. I mean, I'm sorry. You guys are screwed. If they decide to file a lawsuit, then they're going to win. That's not a debate. If they decide to file a lawsuit, they're going to win. So maybe, just maybe, if they don't file the lawsuit, maybe you should rush that proclamation day through for them and say, hey, thanks a lot. We appreciate that. They're very nice of you. Yeah. I don't know what it is. How about a feel-good story here? A Minnesota man has been found guilty of assaulting law enforcement during the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Ah! Warm your hands, kids. Grab the marshmallows. We're making some s'mores. On Wednesday, Brian Christopher Mock, 44, of Minneapolis, was found guilty of 6 felony, 5 misdemeanor charges in U.S. District Court. Mock was arrested on June of 2021 for his role in the riot when protesters disrupted the joint session of Congress and attempted to stop the affirmation of the presidential election results, which once again showed Joe Biden won. Mock was the lower west terrace of the Capitol building for more than 3 hours during the riot. During that time, video surveillance shows him removing barricades, stealing government property, cheering on the other rioters, and demanding that officers surrender at the Capitol. Once again, pro cop, bet he's got one of those blue line flags, huh? Yeah. And over the course of 6 minutes, Mock committed 4 assaults against law enforcement officers, again, according to the convictions. Wait a second. Aren't only minorities supposed to be held accountable for that? Apparently, these people think that's the case. First, Mock pushed the U.S. Capitol police officer who had fallen back to the ground. A few minutes later, Mock broke a flagpole in half and threw at officers, blocking rioters from advancing. Mock also pushed an officer who had been separated from the others in the back. The officers were retreating. Mock shoved a Capitol police officer to the ground, then took the riot shield from the officer and passed them back to the rioters. The FBI Let's see here. Collected evidence against Mock using tips from witnesses and those close to him. According to one tip, Mock was bragging about beating up cops and destroying property upon returning home. Hell, how many Republicans are sitting out there right now saying, he just, you know, you got, how do you can't get mad at him? You can't get mad at him. He was trying to vocalize his opinion. He's bragging about beating up cops and destroying property. He's your guy, Republicans. You can look at me all day long and say, well, he's not ours. Eh, he was. Donald Trump told him to be there. That was the Republican. And until you condemn him, he's your guy. I'm not expecting you to line up because I already know what's going to happen. Mock sentenced for scheduling for October 10th. In total, Mock was convicted of obstruction of official proceeding, obstructing officers during a civil disorder, 4 counts of assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, theft of government property, entering or remaining in a restricted building on grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a registered building on grounds, engaging in physical violence in a restricted building on grounds, and act of physical violence in the Capitol building or grounds. You're going to jail. You're going to jail. And we can brag about that, huh? 9-5, and that's always, good luck. I mean, good luck. You're always going to be a convicted felon. That's it. Maybe you're hoping that Donald Trump will come and pardon me. Nah. 952-946-6205. So I want to take the next few minutes here, if I can, to calmly and rationally say to the DFL, what the hell are you doing? Okay. What are you doing? I have talked way too much about over the years about a fatal flaw that Democrats have, and that is they want the parade. They want the parade. They want the attaboys. They want the adulation. They want the marching in the sunset, arm in arm, we win, dun, 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 dun. And that's not how politics works. That's not it. You finish one political election, you get a few hours of sleep, the next button begins. That's how the world works, okay? You guys had a spectacular run here. I've written about it. It's on the blog, Progressive Citizen X. You had a spectacular run here, getting a lot of things accomplished. And what has been a theme I have begged you guys to follow the entire time? Brag. Put billboards in all these towns. Brag. Put out press releases every day. Brag. You need to go on out there and spend money and basically remind people you're the ones that did all this. Because if you don't, it's going to blow up in your face. Let's go back to 2008. We elect Barack Obama. The Affordable Care Act gets passed. And you guys just sit there like Calvin in a school desk, waiting for your victory parade to start and begin, and the next thing you know, the class is dismissed and you missed the bus. Oh, God, we had another election? Oh, my God. You guys are high on yourselves. You're there. You're not doing what you need to do. And the reason why I say this is not necessarily because, you know, bragging is a great trait, but if you basically just sit there and say, they'll know who did it, you are going to basically allow the Republicans to do what they're doing, which is take credit for all the things that are popular, which they're saying that they delivered on, which they voted against, and the things that they don't declare as popular, they're basically beating the living daylights out of you on. So you need to get out there, and I don't care how small the damn town is, you need to get out there and start bragging. Case in point, the Axios story. Minnesota swing voters in Axios' latest poll focus group support some of the DFL's biggest legislative victories, but overwhelmingly oppose tax increases included in the recent state budget. Axios observed 2 online sessions Tuesday comprised of 13 Minnesota voters who backed President Biden in 2020 and supported former President Trump in 2016. 9 identified as Republicans and 1 as a Democrat. Now, I'd make an argument that the vast majority of independents are probably have their mind made up. They just try to sound nuanced and to claim that they're independents. Let's just be honest about it, that there's already a home team within their thing. And so I think this idea of, oh, they're independent, I think, okay. And it seems like what they've done is gotten, you know, well, we'll take it at face value that they will, they are independents, but you already have a group in Axios. You know, this is a group that basically clearly favors the Republicans. Although the focus group is not statistically significant sample like a poll, the responses show how some voters are thinking and by talking about current events. And so, here you go. How swing voters ultimately view the legislative actions could determine whether Democrats retain full control of the state government in 2024 when all 134 state House seats are up for election. Now, I want to stop really quick and talk about that. You should win the House again. Reminder, this was supposed to be a big Republican win, and the new maps alone are a tough fit for the Republicans. We've talked about that, that it's just, if you just carry all the lean Democratic seats, you'll win. You know how you're not going to win? Passing all this, allowing a year and a half for the Republicans to drive their narrative on all this, and then acting like, don't you remember the good things that we did? Because people are not going to be remembering that. Because they've already been indoctrinated into thinking that you've failed them. And I want to make sure you understand, this is already bad for you. Because you're sitting there waiting for a damn parade, DFL, and you're not out there doing the greasy, hard work that's politics. Every stinking day, you need to be out there championing your victories. Because if you don't, the Republicans are masters at taking their failures and turning them into their own victories. So the longer you sit there and when's the parade begin, the more you're getting wiped out. Your accomplishments are being discredited. You should win the House again. You should. If you don't, it's because you're basically waiting for a parade. Judging from what we heard in Minnesota swing voters, next year's campaign will be a fight over what is achieved versus what will cost taxpayers. The 67 members of the Senate, where Democrats hold one seat majority, are not on the ballot till 2026. Governor Walz also is not on the ballot again until 2026. The 13 voters were initially divided on the DFL's one-party control in the Capitol. Two said it had been a good thing. Six viewed it as bad. Five had no opinion. After reviewing the list of legislative passed during the recent session, nine said they approved of the work accomplished by the majority Democrats and Governor Tim Walz. So nine of them. Once you remind them of what you have done, stop. I want you to hear this. Once the polling people, the focus group people reviewed what you did, nine out of 13 said you did a good job. So if you're not doing that every day right now, you're failing. All of them supported new laws protecting abortion rights, all of them, while universal free school meals, a pair of gun measures, guaranteed sick time for most workers, and free college program for families making $80,000 garnered strong support. You've passed some things that are popular. You got to keep reminding of them. Who did that? 11 voters opposed newly passed revenue sources for transportation funding, one included indexing the tax gas to inflation and 75% metro area sales tax hike and the future fee on non-food deliveries over $100. Well, yeah, I don't know how often you're getting deliveries over $100. That's probably not going to be too much for most people. I live in the metro area. I'm not the happiest about the metro area sales tax hike, but what you need, your transportation people need to be out there saying the reason we had to do this is because Republicans hadn't funded transportation correctly for so long. That's what you need to do. And you're losing this. You did a good thing fixing the budgeting problem for transportation. You did the good thing. You need to go out there and remind people of it. Stop waiting for the parade. Go out there and start going into these districts. Put the billboards on the outside of every one of these towns, for goodness sakes. They're taking new steps to help improve the quality of life of the middle and lower class. And Mike Kay, a 38-year-old independent from Eagan, who views the trifecta went from the negative to positive after seeing the list. Christy M., also an independent, called the slate of changes passed in the last 5 months a little excessive. The money has to come from somewhere, a 38-year-old from Le Sueur County said. The swing voters were lukewarm on legalizing recreational marijuana, with just four expressing support. Eight supported the new paid family and medical leave law. Really, that's, you know, that just tells you how good. Five of them basically were against paid family and medical leave. Wow. And six back the plan to send $260 rebate checks to millions of Minnesotans. It's a drop in the bucket, Jeff said, adding that he would rather see lawmakers cut taxes. Well, I want to make sure we understand something here. This is if there's anything in this story that tells you how badly the Democrats are starting to fumble the ball, it's that. You're going to give everyone at least a $260 check, and people are already saying, I don't want it. How are you failing at this? Now, I get it. No matter what happens, the Republicans were going to say, if we were in charge, we would have given everybody in the state $1 billion. Why couldn't they give everyone $1 billion? If they didn't give them the thing, it's like, we would have given them at least $260. I get it. But when you get the point where you're giving people back their money and there's actually people pushing back against that, then you're failing on messaging horribly. And once again, I don't want you to go down to freaking Uptown. I don't want you to go to Lynn Lake. I don't want you to go to the North Loop. I don't want you to go to the Northeast Side. I don't want you to go to downtown St. Paul. I don't want you to go to a Saints game. I don't want you to go to the Midway or by Hamlin or by St. Thomas. I don't want you going there and saying, you know, we did a good job. You need to get out to Pipestone and Thief River Falls and Fergus Falls and Alexandria and Virginia and Hibbing. You need to get out to St. Cloud. You need to get down to Mankato. You need to get out there with the full team, because the Republicans are convincing people a $260 check, which is the very least everyone's going to get, is inferior. And you're just sitting there waiting. When does the parade begin? I'm going to get 5 gold stars on this paper I just turned into my teacher. 5 gold stars. $260 and that tells you how good the Republicans are at this stuff. You guys got to get out there and fight. I actually had a friend who's out in a rural county who has been at multiple events where the Republican representative out there has shown up, and that Republican representative in every one of those events has shown up and taken credit for bills that they voted against, taken credit for them to rousing applause. And you're sitting here going, when's the parade begin? When's the parade begin? They're taking credit for your good work. You guys got to get out there. You guys got to stop resting. You guys got to keep fighting. I thought things had changed, but God, it just... Didn't we do great? Someone please praise us. Just stop. Several voters who supported some of the DFL back laws still expressed desire to return what they described as the checks and balances of divided government. Normally, you could always count on the Senate to put a stop to something that was always way too much. It wasn't there this year. While the dynamics of the presidential election will undoubtedly influence the outcome of state races, the results of the recent session will provide plenty of fodder for both sides as they battle back to win voters. The swing voters voiced fairly positive views of the governor, though. Just half of the participants said the governor said he was he has governed in the way that reflects one Minnesota campaign pledge to bridge geographic political divides. Balanced, even keel, stable, friendly, and fair were some of the adjective voters used to describe the two-term Democrat. Jeff said they felt the governor took advantage of us while Christie called him soft. Felipe gave him credit for handling the pandemic, but said the incumbent is otherwise always trying to appeal to the masses. I will say this. You know why Governor Walz has a better image here than the DFL does? Because Governor Walz knows how to position this stuff. He knows how. I mean, I'm on a daily basis, he and Peggy Flanagan are crisscrossing the state, going to rural areas and having photo ops. In rural communities, in metro communities, they're out there. And sure, some people don't like him, but there's always going to be some people that don't like him. But he's doing better because he understands what's at stake here. Democrats, especially you metro area Democrats. Listen, DFLers, listen. If you're in a district where you won by 20 points, you know, great. You're pretty much safe. And you pretty much did what people wanted to do. And, you know, that's, yeah, I get it. You know, you delivered. But now it's time to make sure you control the state for another 2 years and get real, some more accomplishments done. The people, all of them supported protecting abortion rights. Every person, all the 13 people, including the Republicans, all approved of protecting abortion rights in the state of Minnesota. Universal free school meals, gun measures, guaranteed sick time for most workers, and free college programs for families making less than $80,000. All of those garnered strong support. It's time for you to get out of your safe metro district and get out there and start punching those into the public's point of view. Because I can tell you right now, especially like that $80,000 for families, free college, that's most of the people in rural Minnesota, man. That's most of the people out there. And that is one that Republicans are already taking credit for, that they voted against. Universal free meals, Republicans want to get rid of that. But now they're taking credit for it. And abortion rights, once again. Republicans, this is why the Republicans are desperately trying to change the culture war stuff from abortion to transgender rights. Although the national guys kind of screwed that up today for them. You need to get off your butts. Stop waiting for your parade. Stop waiting for your victory. Stop waiting for the end of the movie where you stop, you know, you march into the sunset arm in arm. You did a lot of good, but now you're screwing it up by basically waiting for everyone to give you accolades. And the reality is that's not politics, not today. You need to get back into the mud. You need to get back into these districts. And if you want to hold this state, you need to go out and fight in every district and keep reminding people every single day. The Democrats did that. The DFL delivered. The DFL did this. Because if you don't, well, the only message they're hearing is from the Republicans. And guess what? It's not too kind to you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Dave, I'll take your call here after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Fair on August 5th and 6th at PowderhornArtFair.com. Again, that's the Powderhorn Art Fair, August 5th and 6th, or at PowderhornArtFair.com.
So when we do the Friday music, you're actually going to show the video on the screen behind me, huh?
Yeah, we're going to get the video behind.
So, okay.
Video right behind you, and people can dance along with you.
I'll be the creepiest 54-year-old man ever.
That's why you got OnlyFans.
Yeah, it actually is. 952-946-6205. Why is that old man dancing on TV? It's kind of weird, Dad. Like I'm at First Avenue back in 1994, man. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Dynamo Dave wanted to chime in today. Welcome on in, Dave.
Hello, Miraculous Matt. Thank you for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. What's on your mind?
So I just want to congratulate you. Yesterday's analysis on the Minneapolis Police Union and all that stuff that was going on, you really educated me a lot on that. And I was going to ask you mentioned about the police union contract for Minneapolis. Is that a contract between the city and the union, or...
I believe so. I believe so. Because that was, and that was just to clarify, that was the one of the main focuses of the ballot initiative that was out there. That basically the idea is that you're not going to fix the Minneapolis Police Department unless you either get the Department of Justice to come in and fix it, because they'll have the power to do that, or you basically tear down the current police union's contract as it stands and build it back up. And that was the initiative they were trying to pass, was to basically, you know, tear down the police department and then rebuild it from scratch. And that did fail.
Well, doesn't that contract, you know, go up, you know, every 3 years, you know, a new contract? Like the nurses, you know, they always seem to have a strike of many of the different nursing organizations in the cities. And, you know, when there's new contracts. And so isn't that an opportunity to make some modifications without having to tear down the police department?
From what I've understood about the contract negotiations, and thank you very much, I appreciate the phone call on this, is that the way I've understood it is that there are just certain things that are just no-goes for the police union. That they will, and really right now, why would they be? I mean, they've been given basically almost absolute power with zero accountability. And it's only when, I mean, you have to remind her, one of the reasons why so many of these police officers were resigning and claiming, I've got PTSD after we've got report after report of the violence that they perpetrated on the citizens of Minneapolis, was because after George Floyd, no one was buying their shtick anymore. And so it was, and what seemed to happen was there was a, it just seemed that there was a plan by the leadership that was going to say, hey, I can only keep this stuff hidden for so long. I can only keep body camera footage hidden for so long. I can only do this. And we got now the DOJ is doing a full investigation and they're going to find out everything. And so I think it was the police officers. One of the reasons why everyone's like, you know, where have all the police officers gone? I think all the police officers who knew that they were going to get into trouble basically left beforehand and ran away. And a lot of them, by the way, are in Florida or Arizona now. They've actually left the state because, and I think that's almost an admission they knew they were doing things wrong. And so they don't have any accountability. And they seem to have zero intent on changing that. And part of that is because Republicans have basically, on the statewide level, have pushed to basically make them to where they're untouchable. But at the same time, I think that there is an element. I mean, I'll tell you what. When I come back, I'll talk a little bit about Cooligan's article in The Reformer that he put out today, where he talked about, you know, this is white liberals in the city are basically part, you know, for the most part to blame. White liberal city management is to blame for the police as we've got them right now. And if you're going to fix this problem, you're going to have to change a lot of mentalities. And by the way, two things about yesterday's rant about that. I've talked to multiple people. No one seemed to know that the police union actually had the ability to overrule any Department of Human Rights rules changes if it was in their contract. So basically, no one seemed to know that the police union basically didn't really have to be held accountable and any of this as a quote unquote agreement. It's basically it's words. It's, oh, sure, we'll look into being better. The other side of it is that I still think I'm wondering if the whole point of this is a ploy to basically try to walk into a courtroom and say, we can't install the DOJ's change recommendations because we have this contract with the Department of Minnesota Human Rights, which really doesn't hold anyone accountable, but say, see, we got this. We can't do the DOJ. So this will supersede this. And by the way, the DOJ has already very quickly said, no. Our plans are going to go into place. I don't know if that was the case. I don't know if that was the plan. But considering how little this consent decree does, I don't, what's the point of it if it wasn't to basically kind of just preserve the crappy, unaccountable police department we have today? I don't quite get it. So, yeah, I mean, as for something that came from the Department of Human Rights, that is about as toothless as it gets. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, that and two national stories before I get to some dancing a little bit later on. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
God. I'm still stunned by that story out of Owatonna, man. If you didn't hear the first hour, a mayor walked into a church and basically desecrated the church while in there with his questions and demands. I'm stunned. I gotta admit, I'm stunned by it. And I this whole idea of now it's basically the entire thing seems to be trying to separate his actions as somehow he's the private citizen mayor versus the actual mayor. It's, yeah.
952-946-6205. Reading from the Cooligan story in The Reformer, the federal government's June report about the Minneapolis Police Department, compiled by investigators from the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division and the Minnesota Office of the U.S. Attorney, paints a ghastly portrait. It's written in a clear and stoic prose. Even when describing the casual cruelty of an officer dragging a white man in handcuffs down some stairs and pressing his weight onto his chest, face, and neck, the man said, "Get your blank knee off my head. It hurts." The officer responded, "No, this is how we operate." The supervisor concluded the use of force followed policy. Wow. The crime that premeditated this treatment: trespassing unarmed in a vacant house. If you're a black teen and you steal a $5 burrito, be warned, an off-duty officer might pull his gun on you and throw you on the hood of his car, the DOJ writes. Writers revel a bit about the stating of the obvious. Unholstering a gun is an unreasonable use of force in the absence of any kind of threat. Was it going to hit you with the burrito? The incident was not without consequence. When we spoke to the teen's mother, she reported that after the incident, her son experienced a sense of helpless rage as well as feelings of frustration and powerlessness. There's another example from the report that crosses into the absurd. Someone turned in a teenager's lost wallet to an MPD precinct front desk. When the teen's mother came to retrieve the wallet, it was gone. During the MPD investigation, the desk officer admitted that he had failed to inventory the secure the wallet. MPD dismissed the complaint as having no basis, even though the MPD knew the name of the desk sergeant. Someone crossed out the name of the investigative file and replaced it with unknown officer. Yes.
Officer unknown.
Unknown. Oh, sure, that guy. Is that German? Unknown. Und no.
He might be Eastern European.
Oh, he's Canadian. If you're having trouble sympathizing with a trespasser or a kid who steals $5 burrito, let's try another. Our officers carefully searched the shirtless complainant driver for weapons and found none. An officer then said, "Okay, we're going to hook you up just for your safety," and handcuffed the driver. The driver objected but was forced to stand handcuffed by the side of the road for 5 minutes before being released. Why? You ever been handcuffed for no good reason? Made to stand on the side of the road, your neighbor's gawking at you? I did a search of the report and the word unlawful, and it turns up 45 times. Mind you, the people committing unlawful acts in this 89-page document 45 times are the police. As I read it, I kept wondering how certain people I know would react to this kind of treatment, especially if it were routine. I'm thinking especially of the types who pledged to be libertarians, guardians against big government encroaching on us, folks who had temper tantrums during the pandemic about wearing a mask or on an airplane. How would they respond if they were subject to this kind of policing? Well, that's the thing, right? I'm thinking mostly of a certain kind of white guy, and this behavior is primarily, although not exclusively, directed at Black and Native American residents. During the years of the DOJ investigated, 2016 to 2022, Minneapolis officers were constantly stopping Black and Native American drivers without any good reason for doing so. Investigators estimate MPD stopped Black people at 6.5 times the rate at which they stopped white people, and stops of Native Americans at 7.9 times the rate which stops of white people. We know how many times bogus stops because the officers didn't cite the person they stopped. MPD stopped but did not cite or arrest Black people, 5.7% of the rate of white people, given their shares of the population, and Native Americans were stopped but not cited or arrested 5.9 times the rate. In the most extreme example, officers made no arrests in 22% of the 198 instances they used a neck restraint, which is a polite phrase for chokehold. So once again, nearly a quarter of the time they used a chokehold on someone, they never even arrested anybody. They just decided to go chokey, 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 chokey. He's got an old military accident injury. The only way it feels good is if I snuggle it on in there into the neck of some poor sod here. There you go. Oh, feel the heat on that arm. Dude, can I just say this? I worked as a bouncer when I was in Germany, when I was in the military, to make some extra bucks on the weekend. I would work at some of the bars as a bouncer, and we knew not to do chokeholds back in the 1990s at a bar. How does a bar know, hey, you don't do chokeholds, but Minneapolis police go, you know, this kid hasn't done a thing, but let me just show you out here to get a nice tight grip on there. You're okay with this, aren't you, son? Don't act up. You know, nearly a quarter of the time. The same discrepancies appear on body and car searches, many of them likely a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and use of force. DOJ investigators report that MPD forces in more than 15,000 encounters with people and used force against black people at 9 times the rate it used force against white people per capita and used force against Native American people at 14 times the rate of whites. And reminder, whites are a far larger portion of the population than either blacks or Native Americans. The DOJ also worked the data to control for time of the year, time of the day, and behavior of the person that officers interacted with. So they could make better apples-to-apples comparisons. They found 22% more searches of black people than white people, 37% more vehicle searches, and 24% more of the use of force during the two-year period after George Floyd's murder, i.e. the behavior was so ingrained that it persisted even after the earthquake event of the Memorial Day weekend in 2020. Moreover, the police tend to use force indiscriminately without good reason. Roughly three-quarters of the time MPD reported using force, it was for incidents that did not involve a violent or weapons offense. Three-quarters of the time, 75% of the time, Minneapolis Police Department used force. The incidents they used the force on did not involve a violent or a weapon. Wow, that just was their standard operating procedure. Setting aside the racial discrimination at the heart of the crisis, the unlawful authoritarian behavior of the MPD places everyone at risk. The report is filled with examples of unconstitutional force used on protesters, the press, the people experiencing mental health emergencies. Still, if you're white, I'd ask that you consider what life would be like if you were frequently stopped and searched and somehow assaulted, even when you followed the law, or if your children were subjected to this treatment. MPD force used against black and Native American youth at significantly higher rates than against white adults, according to the report. And by the way, if you want to read the laundry list of things, there's 47 that I have posted. I actually took screenshots and posted on the blog Progressive Citizen X. You can go there, and it's the story with the the Department of Justice symbol on it. I posted it there just so that basically it doesn't get lost. When you look at the DOJ report and you look at what the Department of Human Rights decree was yesterday, the first thing that I keep saying is, okay, did you guys really do an investigation in the Department of Human Rights? Don't get me wrong. You point out some bad things. And you got your stern wagon fingers out. But you didn't get even close to discovering what the Department of Justice was able to discover had happened. In all of its ugliness. And the fact that you yourself did not pump the brakes and slow it down and say, maybe we should work together with the Department of Justice here. The fact that you went to the courts and were trying as quickly as you could to get signatures on a decree, which basically, I said, this is why I think this whole thing with this Department of Human Rights consent decree, I think it has far more to do with trying to stop the Department of Justice from actually putting in real changes down the road. Changes that can't be fought. Because that DOJ report, as you know, and by the way, the Patrick Cooligan article goes a lot further. So I do encourage you all to read it. It's ugly beyond ugly. Yeah. 952-946-6205. Now, let me get to two national stories here that have broke. I'll give it a bad one first so I can leave us on a bit of a positive one. The U.S. House Friday approved an annual defense authorization bill loaded with GOP rollbacks of Pentagon policies on abortion and transgender health care, as well as efforts to boost racial equity. They repealed efforts to boost racial equity. Republican amendments targeting social policy issues turn the typically bipartisan measure preserving the nation's military security into another front of the culture wars, similar to those who have gripped many state legislatures. It did pass 219 to 210 with mostly GOP support. There were four Democrats and four Republicans did cross party lines to vote with the majority of the other party. Five members did not vote. The four Republicans who voted against the bill are all members of the conference's right wing: Andy Biggs, Ellie Crane, Ken Buck, and Thomas Massie. So they're basically, until all the tax breaks are taken care of first, no one gets anything. The Democrats, and by the way, if you're looking for someone to, primary out of office, here you go. I'll give it to you. Because once again, these people voted to stop abortion rights, transgender rights, and equity in the military, knowingly. Donald J. Davis of North Carolina, Jared Golden of Maine, Mary Glusenkamp of Perez of Washington, and Gabe Vasquez of New Mexico. I would rather, I think in Minnesota what we've learned is that if you continually remind people of your Democratic policies and your initiatives and your successes, that you will win. So I think a good Democrat would do that. I don't think we should be basically sacrificing the brave. We're talking about people who are volunteering to serve in the U.S. military. And they're trying to basically force. So someone from Minnesota who might join the military, who comes from a state where there's abortion rights and transgender rights, gets in the military and the Republicans are supposed to say, you don't have those rights anymore, even though they are going to fight for this country. This tells you, I mean, once again, if you want to see how far the Republican Party has fallen from where they once were, look at this. They are sacrificing. The defense bill is not going to get passed. There's no way the Senate's going to pass it. And even if they did, Biden would veto it, and there's no way to overrule it. And Republicans will desperately try to say, well, he is against the defense of this country. No, he's against you guys stopping these rights. And I mean, Biden's no fool. He'll take you on this and you will lose. But this is the Republicans overall all voted to basically, well, outside of four of them, voted to basically hurt the troops. Hurt the troops. And by the way, they like to call it woke policies. As a person who was in the U.S. Army, let me make sure we understand what these policies are about. They're about creating a team. And that team is not just white guys, Republicans. The military is not just white dudes. It's black people, Hispanic people, transgender people, LGBTQ people, women. They're all there fighting for the U.S., fighting for your safety and security. You don't want to have a situation where on a military post, white people don't like black people and everyone discriminates against the transgender people. And then all of a sudden you're all called up. You think all that hatred and bigotry is going to just go away the minute they go into the combat field? No, of course not. It's going to be like the Russian military. It's going to be collapsing from within. You have to put forward a cohesive unit. And the way you do that is by basically making sure people understand you're all working together. So if they want to call that woke, fine. It's woke. It's about building a team that's there to defend the United States of America. And they're against it. They're against it. And that is a shame. As a veteran, that is an absolute disgrace. The last story, and like I said, and by the way, I find it funny that after the Supreme Court knocked down, Biden's attempt to forgive student loans under the argument of, we just don't want you to do it. a lot of people were like, why has Joe Biden failed? Well, today, Joe Biden didn't fail. The Department of Education announced Friday more than 800,000 federal student loan borrowers will have the remaining debt wiped out. $39 billion in debt relief will come through the fixes and mismanagement of the agency's income-driven repayment plans. Many longtime borrowers, including those who have been making payments for 20 years or more, were denied relief when they're eligible under the payment plans. Qualified payments were made but were not accounted for. Not for too long, borrowers fell through the cracks of the broken system. So once again, starting Friday, the Department of Education will begin to notify those 804,000 borrowers of their forgiveness, and within 30 days, their debts will be wiped out. 800,000 people. One side's working for you. The other side isn't. By the way, Biden, one of the things that's great about Biden, Biden does remind people of what he's done because he knows people have a short memory. And don't sit there and wait for a freaking parade. Get out there and fight, please. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Do some dancing. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh, I might stop by 30 Bales this weekend. They're down in Hopkins, so. Raspberry Festival. Okay, so by the way, can I just point out something I thought about with the Owatonna story from last hour? Because I'm still, my mind's blown by this. Can I, how the city of Owatonna is trying to downplay this? Like, well, The whole thing was about you trying to get a decree, a date of, for a decree from the mayor about, you know, inclusivity, and you didn't go follow the right procedure. I was like, dude, did you read what else this mayor has done? You guys are really trying to sweep this under the carpet. Like I said, you should be, you should quickly come out with a decree for as a thank you for if they do not sue you, because that's going to be a very easy case for them to win. Listen to the first hour. It'll be on the podcast a little bit later on. 952-946-6205. So now we have broadcast the show on video. I don't know why. I started in radio because it wasn't a video format. It just, that kind of, I was cool with that. But then all of a sudden people decided, you know what would be great? Let's take the troll farm over there and put them up on, you know, here's an ogre. Hey, you know, let's put them on camera. And so we broadcast this, on Twitter? Where is it on?
Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
And YouTube.
Among others that we can do.
And will we get, are we eventually going to get a Threads page, too, and all that stuff?
Yeah, we'll get on Threads. And okay. Yep.
Great.
If they're out there, we'll stream to it, unless it's like a right-wing one or something.
It's not going to be on Truth Social. So if you notice behind me, we have this big TV screen, which we have not turned on. We have turned on now for 2 or 3 days now. We've got it now working. Everything's going great. And so this is going to be our tip. So if you do want to watch, this is going to be like me in, like, you know, First Avenue on a Friday night with this, because we're going to have, we got the Friday dancing and we're going to have the video behind me. So you can, if you do so want to, you can also find the video online if it doesn't get flagged and shut down by Facebook for copyright infringement. Sometimes they do that. So anyway, we are heading out for the weekend. Native Roots Radio is coming in next. Have a fantastic weekend. Go to the Raspberry Festival. Candle Flame from Jungle, featuring Eric the Architect, is going to take us out. Have a good one until Monday. See ya.
Time I made time in a minute. Rock with it, I'm in attendance. How could we pair feelings aside? I got a match. The fight is to the flame. The feeling just got attached. I got the days fall to straight, fall away small. The waist started dancing on me. Had to take your bad home. Time moving slow, we fast forward.